This morning we continue our series on the Psalms, in particular today, Psalm 13. So let me encourage you to find your sermon notes. You can fill in the blanks as we go. Most importantly, live the message that you hear as the Holy Spirit inspires you to be obedient to the will of God. How nice it is when we live inside the circle. You ever been inside the circle where everything is going just right? When life is smooth and good? When the Cubs are in first place? And it's 72 degrees at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, unlike last week. When the birds are singing in the morning, but not too loudly to wake you before it's time to end your slumber. When your kids actually remember your birthday and send you a gift. When you win the lottery. Have you ever been inside the circle? It's a good place to be, isn't it? Of course, we've also been outside the circle when it seems like life is filled with disappointment and the Brewers are in first place. It does happen from time to time when our children don't give us the respect that we deserve, when we hit every pothole in the road, when we're driving on that long distance trip. We've all been there from time to time. Certainly, even more seriously, when we have an illness in our family, when we've lost our job, when our marriage is failing. It's at those times when we probably cry out to God something like this: "This shouldn't be happening to me." Have you ever said that? I know I have. "This shouldn't be happening to me." Now, whether we admit it or not, most of us have made an implicit bargain with God. And it goes something like this: if I'm honest and caring and a good neighbor and a hard worker and I go to church most of the time and I don't go home and beat my wife or anything like that, when I'm a relatively good person, then, God, I deserve a pretty fair measure of good things coming my way. Now, we may not have said that out loud. It may not be our actual prayer, but somewhere in the back of our mind, we have made some kind of a bargain with God. And so, when these things happen, when things aren't exactly smooth, when we feel like we're outside of the circle, we often get angry with God. I don't know, have you ever had a day like this? Now, how many of you remember Ed Meese? That's a name you probably haven't heard in church, maybe ever. Ed Meese, I remember him. He was the Attorney General during the Reagan years, but I really remember him because he was a Lutheran, LCMS, churchgoer in California. So I kind of keep track of some of famous Lutherans over the years. And Ed Meese, he was always good for a good quote. One of my favorites was this. Now you got to think about this one for just a little bit. But he said, "Some days it feels like we are in the javelin throwing competition and we have won the toss and have elected to receive." Right? Sometimes it works out that way. And we wonder then what is happening in our life when we are outside of the circle. Now, most of the time, I would suggest for us good Lutherans that things work out pretty well with this bargain. We keep our end of it. We keep our nose clean. We do what God asks us to do. We're good people. We're good neighbors. And things work out pretty well. Now, once in a while, for sure, we stub our toe, right? things aren't always completely smooth. But you stub that toe, and even if you fall down, if you stumble a bit, you just dust yourself off, you pick yourself up, and away you go. But sometimes we fall. And it's not just a bruised elbow, but it's a bleeding spirit and a damaged soul. And we can't get back up. And it's at those times then that we cry out, "This should not be happening to me. After all, I have made a bargain with God." And as bad as the fall was, as much as that hurts, what's worse is that our bargain with God has been seriously challenged. Then it's when we cry out, "God, I'm keeping my part of the bargain. I've done my job. I've been a good person. I've followed your rules. I've obeyed your commandments. God, why can't you keep your end of the bargain? After all, we had a deal. And now you have let me down." It's then that we probably cry out like the psalmist. There in your notes, these first few verses. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts?" And they're the worst in the middle of the night, aren't they? And you conjure up all these images of what terrible things are going to happen. And every day, even every moment, I have sorrow in my heart. Like David would say, "How long will my enemy, the things of this world, the illness, the failing marriage, the children who disappoint us, the friends who have abandoned us, how long will these enemies triumph over me?" The worst thing is when life turns sour and we realize that God has forgotten about us. So what are we to do? That's really what we're here for today, because we've all been outside the circle. We've all been disappointed by God. We've all felt like at times he has broken his end of the bargain. So what are we to do? When it feels like we've been hit on the side of the head by a 2x4 and God has abandoned us. Well, obviously, some become bitter, don't they? We all know that. Maybe we've been there. And we lash out. And we don't, because we're good people, don't want to explode all at once, so we just kind of leak a little bit. I would call those the skunks of the world who ruin everything and everyone around them with the stench that comes off of them because of their constant complaining and bitterness. Now others, they are just the opposite. They withdraw into themselves. They become apathetic, no longer engaged, having any energy for life. Maybe even leave the church. After all, the church is a place where God is represented. And that was the bargain. "God, I'll be good. I'll do my part. You do yours." And they're the turtles, aren't they? Withdrawing into themselves, and their behavior, even though it isn't as toxic, perhaps, as the skunks, it's just as destructive to themselves and to those around them. Now, there is another alternative, and of course, that is from the Word of God. And this is the example of the psalmist. The psalmist doesn't become bitter, and he doesn't withdraw, but rather he laments, and he renews his trust in the Lord. Even though it seems like God is the problem, even though it seems, emphasis on the seems, that God has abandoned him, God is still there. And he recognizes that God is still there. And he remembers those times when God appeared to be with him. And God rescued him and God helped him. And so he renews his trust in the Lord. And what a spiritual gold mine this is when we discover that God is indeed the solution, even when he seems to be the problem. Now, we know that there are all kinds of laments in the Scripture. In fact, half of the Psalms are laments. There's even a book in the Old Testament. You probably heard of it. Lamentations, right? And here's the pattern, and this is what I want you to learn today. Because if you haven't, you will be outside of the circle. I guarantee it. So he begins with this, an intimate address of God. O Lord, or as Jesus did from the cross, simply quoting Psalm 22, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? This intimate address, and let me encourage you to vent from time to time. Now, that doesn't mean to be the skunk and do it all over everyone, but find a person who knows you, and a person who isn't going to share your venting or your complaining with others. Hey, here's an idea. How about God? Does anybody know you better than him? And he's not going to share all your stuff with everybody else. So it begins with this intimate address of the God. And then there is the actual complaint. Make it specific. This is what's going on in my life. This is what's bothering me. This is why I feel like I am outside of the circle. And then the petition. God, do something, would you, please? Heed, deliver, help, save. Make it specific. And then a word of motivation, as if God needs any. So we appeal to his divinity. Hey, you're God. You can fix this, right? To his virtue, to his honor. And then, in some laments, and we probably do this a lot, there is some kind of imprecation that's just a $10 word. They say, hey, Lord, how about a little revenge? Let's all say this together, and you'll love this. God, get those SOBs. Can you do that? Now, that just means sons of bad people, in case you were wondering what the word. I mean, doesn't that feel good? I like to say that a lot. God, would you just get those SOBs? Come on. Where are you? I mean, there are 8 billion people in the world. I know we got to get your attention, so that might do it. So then, at the end, the speaker, which would be you, and the psalmist, is assured of being heard. God hears, and then followed, of course, when God hears, God acts, God responds. That's the whole story of the Bible. Humanity cries out, God responds. We sin, he delivers a Savior. We cry out, he hears, he responds, he helps, he turns, he delivers. So, of course, a word of praise. So, let me do this one more time, reading the psalm. The cancer sufferer. I thought I was getting better. The tests were good. My strength was coming back. And then after 6 months, when I went for my checkup, and now the blood counts, they're off, and it's another round of chemotherapy. How long, O Lord? Or the father who has done and done and done and done and done over and over again. He has bailed his son out of jail. And now for the umpteenth time, and he asks, will you forget me forever? The mother of the severely disabled child, spending her whole life giving up her hopes and dreams, caring for this person who can't take care of themselves. And now finally, when there's just a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, now her husband says, I can't take it anymore. I can't take being neglected. I can't take your entire focus being on the child. I want a divorce. How long will you hide your face from me? Or the young man who was victimized 20 years ago. He should have gotten over it by now. But the uncle who abused him is still in his memory. How long must I wrestle with these thoughts? The mother, coming from a military family, being a patriot, honoring our country, sending 3 sons off to war, and none of them have returned. How long must I wrestle with these thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? We get through these verses. Look on me and answer, Lord. Where are you? Have you abandoned me? Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. I am outside the circle. I've fallen and I can't get up. My soul is bruised. My spirit is bleeding. It seems like there is no end. I am the pit of hell. God, where are you? And then all of a sudden, it turns, doesn't it? In the words of the psalmist and in our own life, but I trust in your unfailing love. I know it's awful, but Lord, I remember when it was not so awful. Lord, I remember when you were there for me. I remember when you cared for me. I remember when you protected me. I remember when you saved me. It's like Good Friday and we see Jesus hanging and bleeding on the cross. It's Friday, and yet we know that Sunday is coming. We know that there is going to be a dawn of a new day. We know that the resurrection is around the corner. And so my heart rejoices in your salvation. We've all been outside of the circle as individuals and as a church. And let me assure you that the church is at its best when we live between verses 4 and 5. And so my enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. And then a big sigh, a big breath, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. You see, as good Lutherans, we often, when we're outside of the circle, we We don't complain. We don't vent. We just go on as if nothing has happened. What's the universal greeting? How are you? Fine. When inside, we're in the pit. When it feels like our life has gone to hell in a handbasket. The church is at its best when we cry with each other, when we weep with each other, when we anguish with one another. And so I want to encourage you, when you are outside of the circle, to follow these steps of the psalmist, to cry out to the Lord, to lament. And then when you see someone in that position, to reach out to them, to cry with them, to offer that shoulder, to offer just your presence. And remind that individual or that family of the times when it wasn't so awful, when God did pick them back up, when his presence was truly felt, when Good Friday dissolved into Easter Sunday. I want to close this morning with a poem. This is from an individual. Her name is Ann Weems. She wrote a book called The Psalms of Lament. She's a Christian, actually the wife of a minister. Her son Todd was brutally murdered just after he was 21 years old, just after his birthday. So how do you as a mother deal with such a thing? Well, she had a talent for writing, and so she had a friend who encouraged her to put these things down on paper. And this is what she wrote. In the godforsaken, obscene quicksand of life, there is a deafening alleluia rising from the souls of those who weep. And of those who weep with those who weep. If you watch, you will see the hand of God putting the stars back in their skies one by one. And that is my prayer for all of you. In the time when you are outside of the circle, don't become bitter. And don't withdraw into yourselves, but reach out again and again and again to the God who loves you, to the God who has saved you, not only from your sin, but also from yourself. When life turns sour, it seems like maybe God is the problem, but I assure you that God is always the solution. He's always there for you and always there with you. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Amen.